This is the morning mass. It's a Tuesday morning. What do we do at this time? We head to the Dial-A-Doc program here today. Let's head to FHN, clinical nurse, leader, and stroke and sepsis program coordinator, Tracy Love, back with us again. Hey, Tracy, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining me. Great to talk to you again. May is Stroke Awareness Month. Can you please define what a stroke actually is?
Sure. So a stroke is any time that there is a decrease or a cutoff of blood to vessels in the brain. So a stroke happens in the brain, and if blood is not able to get to different areas of the brain, damage starts to happen, and that's what causes a stroke. A stroke can happen two different ways. You could have what we call an ischemic stroke, and that's when a clot builds up in a blood vessel, and when that clot sticks, nothing can go downstream of that. So that starts to cause damage downstream from the clot because blood, oxygen is not able to get to that area. Another type of stroke is what we call a hemorrhagic stroke, and that's a type of stroke where the blood vessel in the brain actually bursts, opens up, and blood leaks out. Again, damage starts to happen because the blood is not able to get to the areas where it's supposed to.
Tracy, as we talk about this, then, is there anything that people can do to help prevent having a stroke?
They can. So a lot of times what I try to tell everyone is try to know what your possible risk factors are. Some of the major risk factors for having a stroke is having high blood pressure. That's actually one of the number one causes of a stroke. So if you're not sure if you have high blood pressure, it's always good to go in and see your provider. Have them just check your blood pressure, and then they can tell you if it's not in the range where they would like it. Typically, you know, blood pressure greater than 140 over 90, and even now they're starting to back that down, even saying over 130 systolically, the top number. Anytime you hear those numbers, you know, work with your doctors to determine what you might need to do to keep your blood pressure where they recommend it. Diabetes is also another cause of ways to prevent a stroke that is a risk factor for a stroke, especially in combination with hypertension. Also having high cholesterol. So again, knowing what your numbers are and working with your providers so that you can take medications as needed to try to lower that cholesterol, which would lower your risk.
We're talking to Tracy Love on the FHN Dial-A-Doc program, clinical nurse leader and stroke and sepsis program coordinator. Well, Tracy, I know we couldn't get through this without talking about COVID-19 and the virus. Apparently, it may be causing or contributing to some strokes, particularly maybe even in children. Has there been research on this, and what do you understand is happening out there right now?
Well, you know, as with most things we're learning with COVID-19 right now, information is really evolving very rapidly. You know, so trying to keep up with the literature right now because there's just so much that we're learning because we're in such early stages. I do know there is research ongoing right now. So I think really our biggest thing now is waiting to see what some of the research is showing us as to the whys.
What about people? Is there any connection to the to your heart? You talked about blood pressure. Any connection to the heart and to a stroke or potential stroke? Any connection?
Yeah, so when you think of a stroke, again, you know, I always like to remind everybody, a stroke happens in your brain, but one of the other risk factors that can lead to somebody having a stroke is a condition called atrial fibrillation. So atrial fibrillation is where the top two chambers of your heart are not beating appropriately, and sometimes that can lead people to having a risk of having a blood clot. So, you know, I can never stress enough working with your providers, your doctors, your nurse practitioners to make sure that you are taking the necessary precautions if you're diagnosed with atrial fibrillation or even if you have cardiac disease of the heart, working with your doctors and nurse practitioners to make sure that you're taking the necessary steps to try to keep that under control so that it decreases that risk of having a stroke.
I know, Tracy, when we talk every year, of course, we always want to have the listeners understand what their potential symptoms of maybe whether or not they may be having a stroke may be. Every year you remind us of the acronym that people should use, either if they think someone is having a stroke or maybe they think they may be having a stroke. Remind us of the acronym and how it works.
Yes, and actually this year, you know, we're really trying to talk more about the acronym of BFAST. We've kind of enhanced it. We always used to talk about FAST, but now we're saying BFAST. And BFAST stands for B is the balance. So is yourself or is the person you're with walking appropriately? Are they leaning to one side, having a hard time walking? Does it seem like their balance is off? That could be a symptom of a stroke. Eyes is the E. So that's, are you having any vision loss in one eye or blurred vision? And it's going to come on suddenly. It's not something slow over time. This is, I was okay, and within a minute, I'm not okay. I'm having these symptoms. So it's balance and eyes. Face is the F, and that's if you're having any facial droop. So is one side of the face looking different than the other side? And one way to know is to have somebody smile at you. And if you can see more teeth on one side of the mouth than the other, that could be a facial droop that's happening. But sometimes you'll see the eyes start to droop as well. A is for arms, so put your arms out in front of you. And if one arm, you can't keep it up or it drifts or you're not able to lift it at all, that could be a warning sign. S is for speech. So is the person having slurred speech? Are they not able to talk appropriately? Sometimes people will sound like their tongue is thick or they sound like they're maybe drunk, not being able to speak appropriately. So those are some of the things to look for as well. And T is time. And time is of the essence. I cannot tell people enough that you should not wait home. If you're having any one of those signs, you really need to get to an emergency room right away. This is not something to sit home and think that it might go away, because many times it will not. And we have a lot of treatments that we need to have somebody to our emergency rooms as quickly as possible so that we can try to offer them as many treatments as possible.
And when you talk about time, there are some treatment windows that you're dealing with. That's why people getting to the emergency room is critical, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I know with COVID-19 right now, people are afraid. There's a lot going on and being concerned about contracting it. But I really want to tell people, don't skip the emergency room. Please make sure that if you are having any of these signs and symptoms, that this best place to go is to an emergency room. You know, we do guarantee, you know, we're trying to make sure that we're making this the safest place for our patients, and there's a lot that we're doing for that. But making sure you get to the emergency room, because the time windows we have are so narrow. If somebody's showing signs or symptoms of a stroke, we usually have within 3 to 4.5 hour window, depending on if a patient qualifies, to give them medications that might be able to break up the clot if they're having a clot type stroke. So if they're having an ischemic stroke, the one that is a clot, there is a medication we can give to some patients that can dissolve that clot, but they have to get to the hospital very quickly. Even if somebody's having the type of stroke that's a hemorrhagic stroke, the longer you leave that go, the more blood can spill into the brain and cause damage. So it's extremely important to get to a hospital as soon as the symptoms start.
What about a TIA? We've heard about those as well. How are those different from a stroke?
So a TIA is what we call a transient ischemic attack, and most people are going to recognize that saying they had a mini stroke. The signs and symptoms are very much the same. So knowing the balance, eyes, face, arm, speech, and time, the symptoms are going to be the same. The difference with the TIA is the symptoms are going to go away. We used to say the symptoms would go away within 24 hours, but as we've seen a lot with research over the years, it's usually within about 30 to 60 minutes the symptoms will start to go away. It's still important, though, to get to an emergency room, because for one thing, you don't know if the symptoms are going to go away or not. You need to get there immediately. But even if the symptoms do go away, this tells us that the person had risk factors, that they may have a stroke in the future. So it's really important to come in, get the proper testing, and have us help you get on prevention medications or diet, things that are going to help you prevent ever having a full-blown stroke happen.
We're talking to Tracy Love, clinical nurse leader, stroke and sepsis program coordinator for FHN and the FHN Dialer Doc program. Tracy, I understand you have some sophisticated equipment there at FHN to help for stroke victims, right?
We do. So for many years now, we've actually had video conferencing teleneurology that we're able to have come into a room. So if a patient enters our emergency room having stroke symptoms, we will bring in it's kind of a cart, and it connects us to teleneurologists and one of our regional partners who is able to have neurologists come in, work with our doctors, work with our nurses, work with our patients to try to really do a thorough assessment and determine what our next treatment options can be. So this really adds an extra layer of information for our patients and also support for our staff to really help to give our patients the best diagnosis and best treatment options available.
But FHN Memorial Hospital is actually a stroke-ready hospital. Tell us about that.
So in the state of Illinois, we are designated as a stroke-ready hospital. That's through the Illinois Department of Public Health. And what that really means is that FHN has the quality measures in place as deemed by the state, that we are meeting and exceeding those quality measures to show that we're really taking the best quality care of our patients that we can. There are measures and different ways of treating and diagnosing that we have to have available to our patients to maintain that designation, and we've been very proud that we've had that for many years now.
All right, very good, Tracy. May is Stroke Awareness Month. We want to make folks aware of that. How can someone learn more about stroke treatment and FHN and strokes in general, Tracy?
So if anybody has any questions about stroke treatment, stroke prevention, you can always call me at the hospital. You can call 815-599-6000, and you can just ask for Tracy Love, and they'll get you in connection with me. Or you can always go to our website as well at www.fhn.org.
All right, Tracy, always great to talk to you. Great information. Thank you. Great job. We'll talk again soon, all right?
Thank you so much.
All right, Tracy Love here today, clinical nurse leader and stroke and sepsis program coordinator here this morning. That's the FHN Dialadoc program, and the preceding today brought to you by FHN.